I know that, and you know that, and even Rob knows that. But let's just try it and see what happens. Ask Rob if he blames you. I'm sorry, Rob. How can I ever make you know how sorry I am? I know you are, Andy. It's okay. Really. I don't blame you. Maybe all of this was meant to be. We can't always see the big picture, you know. Yeah, man. But it's rough. Hey, that's enough of this stupid pretending. Okay. That was great. Tell me about basketball. What's that been like for you without Rob? How do you know about me and basketball? Are you working from a script? No, Andy. In my initial interview with your parents, they shared with me what they thought was important to your life. Things like basketball. It was all very surface information. There's a lot about you that they don't really know. You ain't lying there, man. You could talk to them all day and never find out anything about me. Do you think your parents understand your problems? Hecky no. Sometimes I think my parents ain't got no grip on reality. My mother lives in La La Land. Do you know that she still says Negro and refuses to call us black or African American? At least she doesn't say colored. She says that her skin is not black and never will be, and that she doesn't know anyone from Africa. Why should she change what has worked perfectly well all of her life? I've given up trying to convert her. What kinds of things is she interested in? She's active in her sorority activities, which to me seems kind of stupid. You got a bunch of black women, forgive me, mother, who graduated from college 25 years ago, who meet once a month to talk about the good old days. That reminds me, she keeps the station on her car radio set to one of those oldie stations. If I hear the Supremes one more time, I think I'll scream. Does she ever listen to your music? Be for real. Anyway, they plan meaningless activities like cotillions for girls like Rhonda and Keisha. She once asked me if I would like to be an escort for one of the girls. What'd you say? I almost died. Me? Put on a tuxedo and dance the waltz with some pimply-faced girl whose major goal in life is to master the bass trombone? I don't think so. So me and my mom kind of stayed out of each other's way. We don't dislike each other. We just don't think alike. What about your dad? My dad is another one who can't deal with the real world, although he doesn't think so. He's active in the Republican Party. Yes, I said Republican. Isn't that disgusting? If you say so. He's got a good job working at Procter & Gamble, where his main function, as far as I can tell, is kissing up to white people. He's the vice president of something or other, some office they created when affirmative action was real popular. He's got a car phone and a fax machine. I guess he thinks he's got it made. But he doesn't make it to very many of my basketball games. Too busy or out of town, usually.
Does that bother you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you think he realizes how that hurts you?
Man, he hasn't got the slightest idea what I think about or care about. He once told me that he hoped I'd go into the business world with him when I finished college. But I plan to use my lips for kissing beautiful women, not the soles of some bald-headed white man's feet. You know, I can't even remember the last time he was in my room. He yells at me through the door every once in a while to turn my music down, but he never comes in. I wonder why.
Why don't you ask him?
Nah, man. I ask him a question, and I get a lecture. I gave up asking him questions when I was 12 years old. It's easier that way.
What about your little brother?
Now you're talking. The only one in my family who was really cool is my little brother Monty. But I worry about him. I think when he gets to be my age, he's gonna have a lot of problems. I know he's only 6, but he doesn't think black is cool. And he's got this thing for little girls with yellow hair. Yeah. I worry about the kids sometimes.
Are your parents concerned?
My parents are no help. They don't even know there is a problem, let alone how to solve it. Monty gets a lot of attention from them, though, more than they ever gave me. I'm not jealous, but I think they like him better. He's still cute and charming and hasn't started to get rebellious or misunderstood yet. Like you. Like me. So, how's it going, now that you're playing ball again? It was hard at first, getting used to Rob's empty seat at school and going by his locker. But basketball, instead of being harder, got easier. It's like I could work out my feelings on the basketball court. The coach gave me his position, center.
How'd you feel about that?
I felt proud, but I also felt a little guilty because I never could have won that position from him. He was the best center that Hazelwood ever had.
So why did you accept the position?
I decided that he would have wanted me to have it, so I worked really hard, and I really improved my game. I'm averaging 17 points a game.
That's good. Do you feel good or guilty when you have a good game?
Probably a little of both.
I'd say that's normal. Tell you what, Andy. Come back next week, and let's talk about school. Bet?
If you say so. I thought I didn't have to come back. There's not much to say about school anyway.
Well, I'd like to talk to you a bit more, if it's okay with you. I really have enjoyed meeting you and talking with you. I'm looking forward to our next conversation. Later, man.
Girl problems? Andy and Keisha after school. December 13th. Hi, Andy. You ready to go? If we don't hurry, we'll miss the bus. What I miss is my car. Look, you don't have practice, and you don't have a class or a session to go to today. It's kind of nice to just spend some time together. Hey, you look good, Keisha. How come you don't wear a dress more often? If I had known you'd notice, I'd wear them every day. Oh, I notice, sweet thing. I notice. You sure are in a good mood. What's up? I don't know. Somehow I feel like I can breathe today. Let's walk home. You crazy. You know it's 20 degrees out there and snowing? Okay, okay. The woman has no sense of adventure. How about if we ride the bus out to the mall and catch a movie? We can go to the early show and still get home in time for dinner. I wish I could, Andy, but I got a chemistry test tomorrow. Plus, I got to finish that composition for English class. It's gonna take me all night and then some to get everything done. Then I told my mother that I'd start dinner for her tonight 'cause she has to work late. I just can't tonight, Andy. Can we go this weekend? Be like that then. See if I care. All I ask for is a little of your time, and you want to get all righteous on me. I'll go to the movies by myself. Andy, you have that chemistry test tomorrow, too. Call me later, and we can go over some of the key stuff, okay? I gotta go. I don't have time to deal with your temper tantrums. Hey, I'm sorry, Keisha. I was just looking forward to spending some time with you. It was your idea. But I was talking about right now. You want the whole night. I'm not mad, Andy. But you're starting to get on my nerves. Don't forget your chemistry book. I'll talk to you later.
School blues. Overheard in the hall between classes. December 14. Hey, Gerald, what you got next bell?
American history. Killer Killian's giving a test. And I don't know nothing about no Civil War, Andy.
She's giving a test? Today?
Yeah, Andy, I just remembered. You got your book?
Nah, man, you out of luck. It's too late to study now, anyway.
I don't care. If I can get a D, that'll do.
Hey, Tyrone, you catch Arsenio on TV last night?
Sure did, Gerald, my man. It was just coming on when I got in from my job at Burger King. The ladies in that singing group he had on are so fine.
For real.
Did you read that story for English homework, Ty?
Nah, man. Even if she gives a quiz, I'm cool. I sit next to Tiffany Brown, the smartest girl in the world. I hear you. I hope she has a class discussion. Then I can catch up on my sleep.
No chance today, Andy. I heard she's giving out midterm notices in class today. I know she got one specially engraved for me.
Oh, no. So close to Christmas. Santa can just skate on by my house. I had my mama just about ready to buy me that leather coat.
Kiss it goodbye, Andini. Now, if you did your homework every once in a while, like my man Marcus over there, you could wear leather down to your underwear.
Yeah, man. What can I say? I can't be doing all that. There's the bell. Let's raise up. Peace.
Ferocious frustration. Andy's second visit with the psychologist. December 17th. Hello again, Andy. How have you been?
Not bad. Just hanging in there.
Making it to school every day?
Yeah, I get there. I don't do much while I'm there. All I look forward to is basketball practice.
Your grade slipping?
You know those giant slides they have at the swimming pool? That's my grades. But then my grades were never that great to start with.
My parents are always yelling at me to improve my grades because I'll never get into college. But then my parents yell at me all the time.
Do you feel much pressure from your parents?
Yeah, lately. Since I've been getting closer to college, they always be on my back. Does that bother you?
Yeah, it does. Sometimes I really do try hard, but it seems like my brain freezes over or something. I just can't learn some of that stuff, and my parents just don't understand that. They want me to be this straight-A superstar, and I just can't do that.
Do you feel that their expectations are too high?
I don't know. My friend Gerald, his dad beats him. He's got this big scar on his face from when he had to get stitches when his dad knocked him against a radiator. My parents don't beat me, but they don't understand me either.
What is it they don't understand?
It's hard to put into words. There's this kid in my class named Marcus who always makes good grades. We call him the Curve Buster. All the other brothers in class be making C's and D's. My man Marcus be pulling A's on a regular basis. Instead of that making him popular, we all hate him.
Why do you think that's true?
'Cause he's doing something that all our parents have told us we could do, but somehow we just can't. It's like easier to just make do, to get by. I like getting good grades, but my friends talk about me if I get called up to the front on awards day with all the white kids. It's easier to sit in the back of the auditorium and laugh and make hootin' noises when people like Mary Alice Applezapple go up to get their honor roll awards.
What do you think your dad would think of kids like Marcus or Mary Alice?
He'd probably want me to marry the girl. And I'd get a big speech about Marcus and how black youngsters need to achieve and how we got to work so hard to show ourselves better than the white students. I've heard it a million times.
But your dad's speeches don't have any meaning for you?
Look, when my dad was 17, he was already out of school and working full-time in the mailroom of Procter & Gamble. He didn't have to worry about getting into college because the chance wasn't there. And he didn't have to worry about scholarships or stupid school counselors or just plain feeling useless.
I bet he had his share of feeling useless. Have you ever talked to him about it?
Nah, man. My dad don't talk. He lectures, he preaches, he yells. But we don't ever just talk.
What about your counselors at school? Are they any help? If I remember, when I was in high school, the counselor was there to help kids out who had academic problems or problems at home. You had counselors who would talk to black students and see their point of view and help them out? No, you're right. It was probably even worse when I was in school. I just happened to be fortunate enough to find a lady who recognized a spark in me and gave me some direction. I don't know what it was like back then, but all my counselor be doing is making up schedules and calling people out of class, as far as I can tell. We got one or two that maybe I could talk to, but they're assigned to another grade level. I'm stuck with the one I got. Have you ever talked to your counselor? Yeah, once I did. It was a waste of time. I went to see her about graduation requirements and that kind of stuff. She's this wrinkled old bat with bad breath, so kids avoid her. I tried to sit downwind of her breath, but it was right after lunch and she kept burping little bursts of garlic. It was really gross. So I was trying to get out of there as quick as possible, and she's giving me this speech about career goals. So I happened to mention that I might like to go into pre-law. She looked at me like I said I want to see her with her pants down. She said someone with my athletic potential shouldn't be trying to make his college career too complicated. She said, "Why don't you major in PE? Enjoy your college years, then maybe come back here in a few years and teach gym." She said pre-law was too demanding and that I couldn't afford to miss all those classes while we were on the road playing basketball, and that my grades would slip and I probably wouldn't get accepted into a law school anyway. Now, I have nothing against gym teachers, but I've always liked L.A. Law and even Perry Mason. But after talking to her, I felt, you know, kind of useless. So what difference does it make if I make good grades or not? I think it does make a difference, Andy. Otherwise, this would not have bothered you so much. It's like the system is set up so you don't succeed. I know. I've been there. Yeah, man. But you survived. So can you, Andy. I never liked school all that much anyway. I like gym and I like lunch. And I even like history. But don't tell my history teacher that. I got her fooled. She thinks I'm not paying attention, but I could tell her every wife of Henry VIII, what he did to each one and why. But she never asks. Why do you think she never calls on you? I don't know. I guess she just assumes I'm another stupid black kid. So it's easier to pretend to be stupid than to be bothered with all that grade grubbing that the white kids do. Lots of white kids, and some of the white teachers too, think all of us are sort of dumb. They don't say it, but they do. The teachers ask us easier questions, if they ask us anything at all, and they expect dumb answers. So I just give them what they want. What do you think would happen if you did volunteer and answer the questions correctly? I even tried that. It don't make no difference. Do you know that once I got an A on a test in advanced math, and when the teacher gave back the papers, he said, "Irvin got an A, as usual, and Ching Lee got an A, as usual. And, oh my goodness, even Andy got an A this week. I must be slipping. My tests are getting too easy if even Andy can get an A on them. Or maybe he cheated." Everybody chuckled, but I was boiling mad. How come I can't ever get praise for good grades? How come me getting an A on a test is something the class should laugh at? Do you find this frustration from teachers of both races? Even some of the black teachers treat us wrong. They be grinning in the faces of those little white girls saying stuff like, "That's wonderful, Mary Alice. You did a marvelous job on that project." Then they say stuff to me like, "That's good, Andy, but couldn't you have improved this part or enhanced this section?" No matter what I do, it's never good enough. So why bother? Are good grades important to you, Andy? Yeah, I guess. Why? Because good grades makes my father shut up and my mother to smile a lot. She's good at that, smiling. Just like my dad is good at yelling. What about you? Do you care? Not really. I just want to have fun. Are you having fun, Andy? Not much these days. Our time is almost up. Let's get together after the Christmas holidays and talk about how you managed. Whatever you say. Look, man, I gotta get going anyway. I promised Keisha that I'd go to the mall with her so she can finish her Christmas shopping. I don't know what it is with girls and malls. Now that's a problem I can't help you with. And you call yourself a professional? Seriously, Andy, I want you to call me at any time if you need me, you hear? I hear you. I guess I should say Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you too, Andy. Take care. Peace, man. Later.
Female frustration. Keisha's diary entry, December 17th. Dear diary, I just got home from the mall with Andy. It was fun at first. There were at least a million people there, and most of them had kids. We walked around and looked in all the stores, and he asked me what I wanted for Christmas. I told him I wanted to be surprised, but I like perfume. So then we went to the department store, and I tried on 16 different kinds of perfume samples. Man, did I stink good! After a while, we couldn't tell the difference between one smell and another, but we kept spraying samples till the sales lady in the perfume department started asking us to leave. Where do they get those women with that perfect makeup? The only place I've ever seen women with makeup like that is in the cosmetic area of a big department store. No real woman walks down the street looking like that. Anyway, we left there and got something to eat. Then we passed by the Santa Claus display, and Andy started acting funny. He said Santa Claus reminded him of Rob. I don't see how. Rob was 6'5" and black, and I've never seen a tall, skinny black Santa. So Andy started getting depressed, and he wouldn't talk, and he just wasn't any fun. I called Mom to pick us up. It sure is a pain since Andy can't drive anymore. By the time she got there, Andy was just sitting on a bench in the mall, totally ignoring me, with his head down, almost on his lap. Mom was pretty cool. She asked Andy if he felt okay, and when he said he had a cold, she took him home. I don't know if she knows how depressed he gets. On the way home from Andy's house, we talked about other things, like taking a shower to get rid of some of that perfume. In the car, with the heat on, it was starting to make me feel sick. We stopped by McDonald's, and she never said anything else about Andy. I wonder what Andy's getting me for Christmas. I wonder if Andy is even going to get me anything for Christmas. He's so out of it sometimes that I wonder if he even knows what day it is. All I know is he better get me something nice, because I spent too much of my babysitting money on that sweater I got him.
How am I supposed to write poetry? Poetry homework for English class. December 20th. Andy Jackson, Poetry Homework, December 20th. Poem of Hope. It's dark where I am, and I cannot find the light. There are shadows all around me, and my heart is full of fright. Everyone is cheerful. They never even see that storm clouds are forming upon the peaceful sea. I cannot see the future, and I cannot change the past, but the present is so heavy, I don't think I'm going to last.
Class, pass your papers up. I know you're excited because this is the last day of school before Christmas vacation, but let's get this one last assignment in. At least you know what I'll be doing over the break, reading your poetry. I'm really rather looking forward to it. Yeah, just like an English teacher. poetry turns her on. Don't knock it till you've tried it, Gerald. Poetry is a wonderful way to express yourself. Sometimes, a poem can say what we're able to feel, but unable to put into words ourselves. You like music, don't you? Yeah, 'cause it has a live bass and I can turn it up loud and jam. Do the songs that you listen to have words? Yeah, especially rap songs. Well, believe it or not, the words to those songs are poetry. Someone has written a poem, and a musician has set that poem to music with a beat. That's all poetry is. Poetry is a song without music. Can you deal with that? Yeah, but I still like what I hear on the radio better than what they put in this poetry book. That's my point exactly. If you don't like these, write your own. Now, do I have all the papers? Andy, where's yours? I didn't do it. Oh, Andy, why not? This was the last big grade for this quarter. You've missed quite a bit of homework the past few weeks. I know you haven't felt well, but this was an easy assignment. Yeah, well, I forgot. I'm sorry. I am too, Andy. I hope you have a great vacation. Come back in January and let's start fresh, all right? I can live with that. Well, there's the bell. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Hey, Andy, I thought you did that poetry assignment.
I did. It's in my book bag.
So why didn't you turn it in? That's going to fry you when grades come out.
I know. I don't even care. I just didn't feel like it. Okay, Keisha?
Okay, okay. Don't get all bent out of shape. Are you still coming over tonight?
Yeah, I'll be there. That's one thing that I do care about.
Rhonda Jeffries, Poetry Homework, December 20th. Love is special. Love is fine. It sends warm shimmers down my spine. His touch is like caressing fire. His smile can make me feel desire. His eyes are kind. His arms are strong. I've found the place where I belong.
Keisha Montgomery, Poetry Homework, December 20th. What's your problem, little man? Can't you deal with the basic plan? Your mama don't know, and your daddy don't know, that you got a secret, and it's going to blow. What's your secret, little man? Can't you hide it under the sand? Your brother don't know, and your buddy don't know, that you got a problem, and it won't let go. What's your problem, little man? Can't you deal with the basic plan? Your mama don't know, and your daddy don't know, that you got a secret, and it's going to blow.
B.J. Carson, Poetry Homework, December 20. I pray to the Lord who lives up above to send me a lady, someone to love. She's got to be fine, of the beautiful sort, and Lord, if you can, she's got to be short. She's got to have class and a sweet sort of grace, and she's got to light up when she sees my face. She'd care about others with a little bit of style, and she'd go to her church every once in a while. I know you're real busy, so I'm not asking much, just a sweet little lady that warms to my touch. Gerald Nickleby, Poetry Homework, December 20. My teacher said to write a poem about some stuff. I really don't like poetry, and I think I've had enough. The words are all arranged in a funny sort of way that you cannot understand if you try and try all day. There's poems about the flowers and poems about the trees. I think that I'd go crazy if I tried to write like these. She said, listen to my music, but my music makes good sense, 'cause rappers speak in street talk and are never hard or dense. So I'm going to tell my teacher that I'm not going to fight it. I did my best with poetry, but I just couldn't write it. Dear Ms. Blackwell, I know this is a little late. I thought about what you said in class, but this is all I could come up with in study hall. Do I get points for trying? Have a good Christmas. Gerald.
Christmas Without Rob. Andy and the Psychologist. December 29th. I'm glad you came back, Andy. I'd like to finish our conversation. What conversation? I do all the talking. All you do is sit there and look out the window. You know, you really should trim those nose hairs. Thanks for the cosmetic advice. Now, what about you? We never really talked about Keisha or Christmas or the rest of the school year up to this point. Do you feel ready to get started? Yeah, I guess. Let me see. Christmas. Well, Christmas was kind of rough. Me and Rob used to hang out in the malls during the holidays, checking out stuff that cost too much and pretending to be interested in buying it. It was funny. We'd walk into one of those stores with alarms and bells and electronic wires and the leather goods. You know the type I mean. Yes, I'm with you. The salespeople started to follow you around as soon as you hit the door, and they never take their eyes off you, like you're gonna steal something with the bells of St. Mary's connected to it. Now, white boys can go in there, and when they say, just browsing, the salespeople leave them alone. Sure, they watch them, but they relax a little and stay behind the counter. But let a black dude walk through the door, and it's security alert in the first degree. You're right. I've had it happen to me. So then we would say, talking real proper-like, my partner and I are interested in purchasing one of your more expensive commodities. Would you be so kind as to allow me to try on this leather coat? The sales lady, who was always some white lady with too much perfume and too much makeup, would get real nervous and start looking toward the back room, where I guess her boss or some security guy was. And don't let all four of us come in together. The old biddy would just about wet her pants. But she had to let us try it on, because there was the chance that we really did have $5,000 in our back pockets. After all, we're drug dealers anyway, right? Isn't that what they think? You know, at this point, I'm supposed to say, now, Andy, let's not exaggerate here, but what you're describing happens all the time. How does that make you feel? Same way it makes you feel. Like cheap crap. So, anyway, we'd play with her for a while, then tell her we'd be right back with Daddy's credit card. I know they thought we were scoping them for a robbery. If you look back into the store right after we left, you could see her writing down vital information, scribbling furiously our height and weight and skin color so she can identify us when we come back to rob her silly behind. We would laugh and go on to another store, but it really made me kind of mad that they treated us that way. Did all of you feel anger at these kinds of incidents? Yeah. It made us want to break something or hurt somebody. We never did, but I can see how places get mobbed or looted if folks get mad enough. Sometimes you get sick of being treated like dirt. I hear you. So what else did you fellas do in the mall? Well, then we'd go to sit on Santa Claus's lap and get our pictures taken. Just when they were about to snap the picture. And they'll take a picture of anybody who'll give them the $8.95. We'd pull down his beard, or take off his hat, or say real loud, why, you're not Santa, you're just some old white dude. He'd get really mad, but since there was always a bunch of little kids in line, he'd smile and say, Santa doesn't like bad little boys. You guys run along now. We'd jump up and leave before they had a chance to call security. I never could figure out why any black kid would want to sit on the lap of some old stinky breath white man in a red suit and tell him what he wanted for Christmas anyway. How come stores never have black Santa Clauses? I don't know, Andy. I used to wonder the same thing. So, Christmas was rough this year. The mall seemed so phony. All that glitter and shiny stuff. Giant green balls and red ribbons hung from the ceiling, with signs like, "The magic of the season is at Midtown Mall." All they care about is how much money you got in your pocket, or what the limit is on your credit card. And if you ain't got no money or no credit card, you can just pass up the magic Midtown Mall, because we're taking up a parking space from paying customers. Very cynical observation, but probably true. Didn't you go to the mall with Keisha recently? How'd that go?
Well, it was about 2 weeks ago. When I went with Keisha to the mall, and when I saw the Santa Claus display, I got real depressed. I had to go home. It just brought back too many memories. Keisha understood, though. She's okay.
Does she have any problem with helping you with your emotional ups and downs?
Nah, Keisha's cool. If it hadn't been for Keisha, I might have really gotten depressed. After the accident, Keisha was always there. She came to the hospital, to the funeral, to the trial. She was the only one I could cry in front of and not be embarrassed. My father kept telling me to put it behind me, to quit dwelling on the past, to get on with my life. But Keisha says stuff like, "I know it hurts, baby. Go ahead and let it out." Sometimes we'd be sitting on the couch in her living room, and she would hold me, and I would cry so hard my whole body would shake. And then I'd fall asleep with my head on her lap. Me and her never really, you know, did it. I think I like her too much to do that right now. I talk big in front of the boys, but they know Keisha's special to me.
Do you depend a lot on Keisha?
Yeah, I guess so. She's there for me when nobody else is.
Suppose Keisha wasn't there. What would you do?
No chance, man. Me and Keisha are tight. She's my lady.
Relationships end all the time. Could you take it if you had another serious personal loss?
Nah, man. You don't understand. Look, let me give you an example. It was Christmas Day. I gave Keisha a bottle of that perfume that she wanted, and she gave me a real nice sweater. Everything was cool. We were sitting in my living room. Our Christmas tree was all shiny and glowing. My dad was dozing in his chair. Mama was working a puzzle that I had given her. She likes word puzzles. And Monty was playing with some space soldier people that he got for Christmas. I felt, I don't know, sort of at peace. If that one moment could have continued forever, life would be sweet.
But it didn't.
No. The phone rang and spoiled it all. It was Rob's mother. She was all teary sounding and she said she just wanted to wish me a Merry Christmas. See, she used to call me every Christmas and tell me to come and pick up my rock. It was this silly joke thing we did every year.
Your rock? I don't understand.
You know how they say that kids who are bad won't get any Christmas presents and will only get a rock in their stocking? Well, every year she'd call me up and tell me to come and get my rock. Then I'd say, "But I've been good." So then she'd say, "Well, if that's the case, come on over and let's see what else we can find for you." I'd go over later and she'd always have something cool like a Lakers hat or a Bulls t-shirt for me.
So this year, did she mention the rock?
No. I think she wanted to. But neither one of us could get past that part about whether I've been good or not. It upset the both of us. She hung up real quick. I think she was sorry she called.
Were you sorry that she called?
Yeah, I was. It spoiled that one special moment of peace, and it made me start thinking about all the pain in my life.
Keisha could tell something was wrong, but she didn't ask. She leaned her head on my shoulder and started singing Silent Night real quietly. Did that make you feel better? Yeah, I relaxed a little. Then my dad woke up, and I guess he thought things were getting too cozy, because he said it was getting late and I probably should be walking Keisha home. So you feel secure in your relationship? Yeah, man. Me and Keisha are tight. She keeps me on balance. When my parents get on my last nerve or school gets to be too much or I really get depressed, I can call her and she'll cheer me up. She believes in me. That means a lot. Well, Andy, I really enjoy these sessions with you. Would you be willing to come back again? Perhaps we need to discuss some aspects of your life just a little more. And once you get started, you don't really seem to mind. Am I right? I guess not. It does kind of help to talk about some of this stuff. Good. See you next time. Later, man.
Good morning, Hazelwood. Morning announcements. First day back after Christmas vacation. January 7th. Ding. Dong. Ding. Good morning, Hazelwood. May I have your attention, please? These are the morning announcements for Monday, January 7th. Would you all please rise for the saying of the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Welcome back from Christmas vacation. We hope you had a safe and restful holiday and have come back ready with a positive attitude to successfully handle the academic tasks before you. The Unity Cultural Association wishes to thank all students who brought in canned goods for needy families. We were able to donate over 30 baskets of food to area families. Thank you for your support, and thank you especially to Room 225 for bringing in exactly 225 cans. Please contact the UCA to schedule your pizza party. The SAT scores have arrived and are available to be picked up in the Senior High Counseling Office. If you would like to discuss your scores, please make an appointment with the secretary there to see your counselor. Also, a reminder to juniors that college plan forms are due in the next 30 days. Tryouts will be held next week for the annual Hazelwood Talent Show. If you can sing, or dance, or tell jokes, get your act together and get ready to show your stuff. More details to follow. The Hazelwood Tigers basketball team won Friday against Taylorville by a score of 88-56. That's the sixth Tiger victory in a row. Captain Andy Jackson and forward Tyrone Mills led the team with 20 points each. Our Tigers meet the Erie View Eagles this Friday. Tickets will be on sale every day during lunch. All girls interested in running for the championship Lady Tigers track team should sign up in the gym office. Indoor practice starts soon. This concludes the morning announcements. Have a pleasant day. Ding. Dong. Ding.
Black on white. Andy and Keisha on a snowy day. January 11th. Hello, may I speak to Andy? Hi, Andy. This is Keisha. Have you looked outside yet? Girl, I ain't even awake good yet. What's up? It snowed last night. Must be about 6 inches out there, and it's still coming down hard. Shucks, I hate snow. It gets all in my shoes, and I walk around with cold, wet toes all day. So wear some boots. You sound like my mama. And you sound like a 2-year-old. I just wanted to let you know about the snow. Get up and get going. Your dad'll probably have you shoveling. You got that right. You think they'll cancel school? Be for real. They never close the city schools. The lucky ones are the kids who live in places like Boone County, out in the country. They always get off school in the winter. Yeah, no such luck for us. I'll see you at school, wet feet and all. Ain't nobody even here. I should have stayed home. I hate snow. Oh, Andy, you complain too much. It's so pretty. Look how shiny and glistening everything looks. The trees, even the telephone lines all look different. Like they've been decorated. You a trip, Keisha. You always see the bright side of everything. What can I say? I'm a rose in the snow. The bright spot in your dark seems like it's always depressed life. You got that right. There's the bell. Let's get to class. Think Miss Blackwell is absent? Not a chance. Yeah, she's a fire-breathing dragon. All she got to do is breathe hard and the snow in front of her will melt. Oh, Andy, she's not so bad. That woman and her poetry are gonna drive me crazy. Well, since we have so many absences because of the snow, we'll have an easy day. Now you talking, Miss Blackwell. I have a poem I'd like to share with you. See, I told you. The woman be tripping on poetry. I heard that, Andy. Try this one and see if you like it. It's called 1968 Winters by Jacqueline Early. Got up this morning, feeling good and black, thinking black thoughts, did black things, played all my black records, and minded my own black business, put on my best black clothes, walked out my black door, and Lord have mercy, white snow. Hey, that's funny. You right, Miss Blackwell. That one's not so bad. That's exactly how I felt this morning when I saw all that snow outside. Thanks, Andy. Coming from you, that's a real compliment. Gerald, what do you think? Hey, that's the way I feel every day. Sometimes I just feel like there's white everywhere I look. You know what I mean? Not exactly. It's like the snow today. Like you go outside and there's white all around you. Like swallowing you up. Go on. Like the lady said in the poem, you minding your own black business and all this white stuff just takes over your life. And I ain't just talking about snow. What's wrong with white, Gerald? Nothing, Mary Alice. This ain't no personal thing about you or any other white person. I'm just trying to explain a feeling I got. That shows a real depth of understanding, Gerald, of the poem and of some of the larger ideas that the poem touches on. I'm glad you like the poem. What did you think, Mary Alice? I never really thought about it. But I guess Gerald is right. Sometimes it must be mind-boggling. Good. Any other comments? Keisha. I like the poem. All of us at one time or another feel like a cinder among the snowflakes. You stand out when you just want to blend in. You get noticed whether you want to or not. But it's not always racial. In one of my classes, I'm the only girl. That's just as bad. Good point, Keisha. Miss Blackwell? Yes, Andy? Why is it that in literature and poems and everything we read in English class, black usually stands for something bad and white stands for something good? The good guys always ride a white horse, and the bad guy is always a black-hearted villain. How come? I'm not sure, Andy, but it certainly is apparent in literature. I don't think it's completely racially motivated, however. The tones of black and white have the greatest amount of contrast between them. Therefore, writers and poets, who have always dealt with extremes in passion and people, use black and white to create those images of contrast. Can you think of any other example where color is used as a metaphor to express an idea? Or where black is used as a positive and white is used as a negative? How about green with envy? Yellow fear? Icy blue? Purple passion? Ruby red lips? How about white heat? Or white as death? I know a real weird one. Chocolate is dark, right? Right, brown and luscious. Ever eat white chocolate? It's even better. Dang, everything good that's dark, they take it and make it white. How about black magic? Is that better than white magic? It's more powerful. Well then, what about black gold? Oil? I'd be rich. Excellent class. As you have shown, color is used all the time to create images in our mind. It's society that implants positives or negatives onto certain ideas. You have the option to accept, reject, or change the stereotypes that currently exist. How do you mean? Okay, let me give you an example. In Puritan England, about 300 years ago, it was against the law to wear the color red. Anyone caught wearing red would be arrested and probably killed. Why? That's stupid. It wasn't stupid to them. They associated red with the devil and works of evil. Therefore, anyone who wore that color must be guilty of evil doing. Hey, Keisha, you better get rid of that red sweater you're wearing. I heard a police car go by. I'd be glad to hold it for you. Shut up, Gerald. You are just used to running from police cars. Okay, now, calm down. Let me give you another example of how color bias can be changed, and this one is racial in nature. About 20 to 25 years ago, social activists started a campaign to get rid of unfair, negative racial stereotypes. That's when we first started hearing the phrases, "Black is beautiful," and "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud." Before that, black people in America had been called all sorts of terrible names. And all those thousands of years of the black knight and black cats and the blackness of death that people associated with negative ideas were associated with a group of people whose skin happened to be darker than the skin of the folks who seemed to be in charge here. Even Africa was called the Dark Continent. I see what you mean. My mother told me about all that stuff. She said when she was little, all she could buy were white dolls. Every little black girl had a beautiful white baby doll with long blonde curls to love and to hug. You're right, Rhonda. I had one like that myself. You did? Now that's funny. Well, times have changed. Stereotypes of color, race, and gender are slowly disappearing. It's up to you people to make a world that's better. Well, there's the bell. Good discussion, class. No homework tonight. Enjoy the snow. Are your feet cold, Andy? Not really. Yeah, maybe a little. Hey, Keisha, can I ask you something? Sure. Do you think Robbie is cold? What? It's so cold today, and there's so much snow. Do you think he's cold? What makes you think of stuff like that? I was just thinking about how cold my feet are and how uncomfortable it makes me feel. And I was just wondering if Robbie is feeling like this all over. Andy, I don't think you should be talking like this. So cold. So cold. I can't stand it. I can't stop thinking about Robbie out there frozen and cold in the cemetery. It's driving me crazy. Andy, stop it. You're driving me crazy. Robbie can't feel anything, Andy. Robbie is warm and at peace. Are you sure? As sure as I can be. Warm. Warm. At peace? At peace, like I wish you could be. Now let's get out of here. If we miss the bus and have to walk in all this snow, then we'll really know what cold is. Okay, okay. Here I come, cold. Cold. So cold.
Accepting fear, escaping pain. Andy and the psychologist, January 12th. So, Andy, here we are again. Are you ready?
You called the meeting, boss.
How do you like all this cold weather?
I don't.
Everything is